So we're talking about 89.5 million dogs, two poops a day. It's 179 million poops a day. You just monetize that picking up one pile. There's 65 billion of them. This is basically a $60 billion opportunity.
Absolutely.
Dude, that is insane, Daniel. All right, welcome back to the Pursuit of Profit podcast. Today's guest might just have the crappiest business we've ever featured on the show. And I mean that in the best possible way. Daniel Sturgis is the founder of Scoop Brothers, a pet waste removal franchise that turned a dirty job into a very clean profit. In 2024 alone, he brought in $421,000 in revenue with a jaw-dropping net of $174,000 net profit. That's not just a solid business. That's a scaling, cash-flowing machine producing a 41% net. Now, consider this. There are 89.5 million dogs in the United States. Each one poops on average of twice a day. That's 65 billion piles a year, and someone's got to clean it up. What Daniel figured out, and you'll notice this in his item 19, and we're going to dive into it in today's show, is a textbook case of operating leverage and underutilized labor capacity. As revenue climbs, his costs barely budge. No need to double the staff or add new systems, just more margin flowing to the bottom line. This isn't just about dog poop. It's about recognizing overlooked markets, building a system that scales, and turning a dirty job into a dream opportunity for a franchisee. Remember, the riches are in the niches. All right, let's get into it. I want to start out with a little bit of, like, you know, humor, a little levity, right? So most people, and I'm sure you're used to this, please. Most people spend their life trying to avoid crap, right? They try and avoid things. So people's favorite line is like, cut the shit, cut the crap. I don't need this shit. You've built a business around it, right? What do you know that the rest of us don't know? Because what I'm learning about your brand is it's insanely profitable.
Absolutely, yeah. The poop is the brown gold, basically. That's kind of what we kind of started calling it around here, is like, it's like the undercover industry that's popping off. So how I got started was, I started in construction. That was like my background, was electrical and construction, doing the blue collar work. That's all I did. So I never really wanted to be an entrepreneur or anything. I never thought I could. But then the idea came from, I had a family friend in Florida that started this on the side. It's like a little side gig, side money and stuff like that. So I got the idea from down there. I brought it back to South Carolina. I told my wife, whenever I got home, I was like, I think I'm going to start picking up dog poop.
And I can only imagine what that reaction was.
She just started. Yeah. So you can just imagine what that reaction was. And it was about the same way you're probably imagining. She was like, just roll over, go back to bed, restart tomorrow. So I just kind of kept up with the idea. And then my brother and me were in the same company at the same time. So we were working construction. So we were 2 weeks in town, 2 weeks out. And we were opposite schedule. So that's where the name Scoop Brothers originated from. It was me and my brother. When I was out of town, he was in town. So he can do the houses and stuff like that, do marketing and all that. But as soon as I launched, they decided to give him a promotion, which put him at the same schedule I was. So we couldn't really work together doing that. Made for a great name, so I kept it. And then I just kind of treated it as like a side gig for about 2 years. And then I realized, hey, this is actually making some money. Let's start to focus on it. And at the same time, I was actually working the full-time job, and I was answering phones at the full-time job while I was up in the air doing construction work, dangerous work about dog poop. So then I just made the decision to kind of go full steam and put every blood, sweat, and tears into it.
What year is this? Because you said the 18 is the beginning, right?
Yeah, 18 was the beginning. Right. Around the end of 20, when COVID hit, that was whenever we kind of focused on it really good.
Okay.
After that, because COVID was our best year ever.
And everyone was buying more dogs. Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
So we were able to stay essential. We were able to do all that. So it was an essential job. And then my other job was essential. So I was able to hire people to actually do the poop scooping. So that kind of held out everybody that could have lost their
job. What are you paying a poop scooper? Like, what is the market rate for that laborer?
So our market's a little lower than usual, but around here between 16 okay. to 18.
Here is South Carolina?
Yes, South Carolina. We're based probably about okay. 20 minutes south of Charlotte.
It's a respectable hourly rate. I mean, they're driving your vehicle. Is a vehicle okay. a single person, I would imagine? You don't need two people in a vehicle, do you?
No, you get two people in there. It's like a waste of money. During training, they're in two people in a group in a truck just to kind of get them trained up. We usually do training okay. for about 2 weeks and then kind of let them off.
You're removing person. It from the homeowner's property. What are you doing with it? And do you see, and I'm being sincere with this question, do you see an opportunity to monetize the waste?
So dog poop is very high in protein okay. and nitrogen. It has to get so hot to kill all okay. the diseases and worms and all that stuff that can be in there. So it can't be used for any edible stuff right. like plants, vegetables, or anything like that. I have seen people use it as like on the side of the roads, like interstates when they do the mass.
That's right. Wildflowers, right on.
Incorporated yep. in that. So that's about the only use. And we don't have that around here. But what I do, I'm kind of fortunate enough to okay. live on a farm that has this space okay. to have a dumpster. And then trash truck comes to every week on a Thursday religiously. So they come through, do their thing and just take it off because it's still considered household trash.
All right. So let's, because there's you and you're unique and you have a farm and all that. Like I don't have a farm. So how would you advise I dispose yeah. of the waste from the homeowner's property?
Yeah, there's multiple different ways to do that. So you can either, like our biggest thing is partnering with other like dog breeders, okay. boarding facilities and veterinarians that have a dumpster. You can partner with them to either pay half or just say, hey, I'll incorporate you into our marketing somehow. And we can Smart. Kind of work a deal out that way. You have the landfill. And then also you have like storage units and stuff. Because some of these franchisees, they can't have the trucks at their house because the HOA won't let us have any vehicle inside the, you know, park on the side of the road. So they may have to have a storage unit. And some of those storage units, you can rent a dumpster for a spot as well.
I just want to tell the audience, I know we're talking about picking up dog waste. Stay to the end because the item 19 earnings claim is insanely impressive. What you guys have built, and we're going to get into it. This is not something that you just say, you lost me at picking up dog waste. I would stick around because there's a ton of money in it. And if you're a capitalist and you want to make money and you want to retire on time and you want an unfettered lifestyle, you should stick around to the end of the episode because this is no joke. Let's talk about services and revenue streams, right? Because right now I'm just hearing we're picking up, but with my research, there's more. Like you're doing yard deodorization. You're installing pet waste stations, I believe. Go through the services and revenue streams that are allowing you to have what I just said, which is an impressive earnings claim.
Yeah. So our residential side, so we have two sides, okay. residential and commercial. So the residentials would be your houses, and then the commercials would be like your HOAs. That's where the dog stations come in. And then also like apartments and stuff like that, dog parks. So on the additional services for residentials, you have our sprays, which is a yard deodorizer. Because as you can imagine, picking up dog poop.
That's right.
You kind of break it off up gases. And that's where the smell yeah. is. So once you step, like, yeah. So basically like if you step in it, you have that's that right. instant just smell. So we kind of upsell the yard deodorizer to take care of that. It's kind of like a spot rent kind of thing.
It's safe?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. The one that we currently use, it's got a neutral pH balance. And then also you can use it around pools and stuff like that. So it doesn't mess anything like that up. Kills no grass, no sod, nothing like that. We just tell the customers, wait 15 minutes, just let it dry.
That How way do you pronounce that? Is it wishy? Is it wishy wash? It's wisey.
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 We use okay. wisey wise. Yeah.
Like, what is it? How are they doing that?
So it's a chlorine-based tablet, and it basically kills all dog poop diseases, that the common ones and stuff like that. It doesn't do anything okay. for worms or fleas or anything. That's kind of like a special spray that you got to have a license for and stuff. So we don't have to have a license for this. That's why we can okay, kind of upsell it the way we do.
All right. And again, it's biodegradable or it's safe yeah. for the grass. It's safe for the pool and it will literally yeah, deodorize the backyard. I mean, you could walk outside and it smells like a spring day, even though you have like three dogs that are crapping 9 times a day. You've heard from some incredible franchise brands right here on the podcast. If you're sitting there wondering which opportunity might be the right fit for you, we're here to help. At Phrenosity, we offer free consulting services to aspiring small business owners just like you. We'll guide you through a focused, strategic process to help you identify the best franchise match. Call or text us at 561-277-3710 or visit us on the web at phrenosity.com. That's phrenosity.com. We look forward to working with you. I mean, you think about it. I've done some math here on extrapolating dog waste. I'm blown away by this market. It's wild, right? It's like these little businesses you would never think about and just glance over. So you've got the poop scooping, you have the cleaning of the yard, right? You have the yard deodorization. And then on the commercial side, of course, you're providing these services, but you're also now installing those poles with the little green bags and all that stuff so that the HOA could keep it clean. And then you're also removing whatever wasn't picked up, I would imagine. In the HOA, yeah, in the commercial property.
Absolutely.
Completely relate to it.
Yeah, commercial, that's usually where the big bugs are because you have no travel time except for just going around the neighborhood. So like we kind of treat the dog stations as a house. So if there's 25 dog stations, you have 25 houses in one neighborhood that are clustered together that you can spend 2 to 3 minutes on.
Okay.
Banking in those money and just taking trash and replacing bags. Like you don't have no customer interactions, you don't have any dogs to come after you or anything like that. So we just kind of set sail, you know, just go through the neighborhood. And then also we've picked up a few neighborhoods that had trash cans too.
Okay.
And then we're already there passing them. So we got a dumpster, might as well take the trash cans
too. Very cool. What is the mix of business? Am I looking at a 50-50 business model? Or no, I'm heavily weighted on residential. I'm 30 commercial. How does it mix?
Yeah, right now we're about 80% residential and 20%.
80-20.
Yeah.
Okay, 80-20. Got it. But the 20, these are bigger ticket items, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely.
What is the average ticket? Like, what are we looking at? Is there a, because this is not one and done. If you're signing up a residential property, 80% of your revenue is residential. Is this a membership model where the recurrence is, how many times are you coming to my house? I mean, dogs are crapping all day.
Yeah, it's set up as a subscription business. So they sign up on the website and then we call for confirmation, let them know a day and around about a time that we're going to be there. And realistically, that's the last time we have to talk to the client unless they have to... update their car.
Set it and forget it.
Set it, forget it. That's kind of how we
throw it out. You don't have to be home. I don't want you home. I just need access to your yard.
Yeah, because if they're home, that means the dogs might come outside.
That's right.
Yeah. So
that's right. Yeah.
So yeah, it's set and forget it. So when we first started, it was roughly around $60 a month for residential,
okay,
which was really low, but I was learning, you know, I was learning the tricks and stuff like that. But right now we're roughly around $95 for average ticket.
$95 for average ticket. Just entertain me for a minute. Let's just try and extrapolate something. I'm looking for this number. If you charge $90, let's just do some simple math and see where we could go with it. If you're charging $90 to come to my house, let's just say that the average homeowner has one or two dogs. What's your answer to that? One or two for two. So two dogs. A healthy dog will crap 2 to 3 times a day. Let's just use two. So we have 120 poops at $90 average ticket. That's 75 cents per poop is essentially what you're doing. So every time you go to a house, every time I pick up a pile, it's 75 cents. It's actually really impressive. What's more impressive, dude, what is more impressive is this. There are 68 million households in the United States that own at least one dog. That's 89.5 million dogs, okay? Healthy dogs, as we said, poop 1 to 3 times a day. We agreed, let's just use two. Let's just use two poops. You know, it depends on their diet. It depends on the diet, the size, the age of the dog, but you get it. 1 to 3 times per day, right? So we're talking about 89.5 million dogs, two poops a day. It's 179 million poops a day. 175 million poops a day times 365 days in a year is 65 billion poops per year. You just monetized. We just did this math on the phone. You just monetized that picking up one pile. There's 65 billion of them. This is basically a $60 billion opportunity.
Absolutely.
Dude, that is insane, Daniel. Now, I know most dogs are just crapping and nobody cares, right? No one has the pride of ownership in their house, let alone want to pick up the poop. But this is a massive market opportunity that I just think most people are just being introduced to. Good for you, man.
Yeah, the industry is just starting. So it's gaining steam. Like around here, there's probably three companies that did it, maybe. And then now there's probably six to seven. So you have a few that are franchisable and stuff like that, but some of them are like really college kids coming from school, but they kind of die off. But once they get used to the consistency of not picking up the poop themselves, they kind of start searching. So that helps us, and it helps us at the long run, because we're here for, you know, the long game. Right. Like if they go back to school, go back to school, we're just going to stay at work.
I completely agree. Daniel, I don't care what the business is today. Like, I don't care what it is. If it's picking up poop, if it's something sophisticated, I don't care what it is. You must have technology for the consumer to cancel, to schedule, to rework things. We're going on vacation. The dog isn't even there. The dog is staying at my sister-in-law's house. Do you have tech? Do you have an app? Do you have scheduling and billing technology? Like, what have you done at this young stage of the brand?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we have a system that we use called Sweep and Go. We picked it up probably 4 to 5 years ago, because before I was doing all this on a piece of paper and then sending text messages to my technicians at the time saying, hey, just follow these texts. Had the address, the phone number, the types of dogs. But now, I mean, we have one system. It's everything's got invoicing to routing to client onboarding to client portals to where they can go through on their side. Like you said, cancel, pause, anything like that.
Interesting.
And update cards.
You built it or bought it?
We bought it. Yeah, we did.
Okay. And it was built for not necessarily your industry, but it was built for home services type industries where you could customize it a little bit?
No, it was built strictly. It was built strictly for
unbelievable. Who would have thought? Like it's unbelievable. How are you acquiring customers? Like, how are you doing this? How are you getting? Oh, you're speaking of acquiring customers. I noticed in your item 7, a $25,000 grand opening expense, which is pretty rich. And I respect that you're doing it because I think too many brands open and nobody knows they opened. It's like, hey, I see businesses all the time. I walk into them and I'm like, wow, I've never seen this before. And then meanwhile, it's around the corner from my house. I'm like, when'd you guys open? They're like, 5 years ago. I'm like, all right, you failed miserably because I don't even know you're here and I live around the corner. So what are you doing? 25 grand is a big number. What are you doing with that $25,000 spent for a grand opening to get the name Scoop Brothers out there?
Yeah, so essentially it's a poop scooping company, but it's kind of like a digital marketing company at the same time because it's all digital. Everything we're doing is digital. I mean, we do have some boots on the ground kind of flyers and stuff like that, but most of it's people are going to be searching or not searching for it online and find it. So that amount is for like brand awareness for those first 3 months to actually give enough into the system like Google and Meta and all that stuff to actually get the brand out there to get people to see it. Because you need to spend money.
It's heavily weighted on the digital side. Not door hangers and direct mail. It's heavy digital, SEO, SEM, social media, right? You're boosting content. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. And it's working.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. I mean, because we kind of tweaked it with my model as we were doing it. So we know it works and we've been through the trials and tribulations of stuff, what not to do. So we know it actually works. And you do have like some boots on the ground stuff, like you said, door hangers and flyers and stuff. And then we have like business partners that we can kind of show up to, like the dog groomers, the veterinarians, and dog boarding places.
You're
like
targeting, let's get down a little granular on the customer. Is the customer like, what is the value of the home or what is the household income? Who is the customer? You're like, look, this is who they are, the 75 grand household income. Is it 100 grand? Who are they?
Honestly, it's all over the board. It blows my mind. It's all over the board. You have people living paycheck to paycheck just to afford us. And then you have people that don't even believe they don't ever see their paycheck because they make so much money.
That's interesting.
It's all over the board, but the main majority of it is roughly, I would probably say around 150 to 350.
You think that's the average? Okay. Interesting. No one wants to clean. No one wants to mow their own lawn. No one wants to pick up their own dog crap. Nobody really wants, no one even wants to walk the dog. They hire dog walkers. I have a whole brand that just walks dogs. I mean, it's crazy. So you're absolutely right. You're part of this service capital of the world mentality where it's like, just outsource it. Just call a guy. Call a guy. You don't have to do it. Just call someone. They'll do it. That's the new thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's where the money's made too, is basically you got to do the stuff that nobody else wants to do. That's kind of how I started doing, like looking into a business, like what does people want to do? And I just landed in poop.
Is it 5 days a week or seven? What are we doing here? We're doing this all day, every day?
So right now we are running Monday through Saturday.
Okay, nice.
So when I first started, it was only on Saturdays. That was the only day I could do it and still work a full-time Monday through Friday. So it just turned it into being one of my biggest days. And we have such a big territory that we need an even number to actually split up the routes evenly. Because we do twice a week service and it really didn't work with 5 days because you have the 3 day split to the 2 day and then it was offset in some of them.
Your territory size is pretty generous. 200,000 households per license, right? It's pretty generous. That's a big territory. 200,000 households. There's over two people according to US Census. Let's just say there's 2.5 people per house. That's a big territory. It's a lot of population. That's also a lot of dogs because I would say if you have 200,000 households based on just data, half of those households minimum have a dog. Right? Right. So, right. I mean, you're talking about 100,000 households that probably have a dog. So that's 100,000 potential customers. It's a nice sized territory. I'm sure you'll tweak that as you go along.
I mean, it's a new franchise. So, I mean, the tweaking will come. We just want to be able to give the beginning people what they actually need and the availability if they need to scale.
I totally agree with you. Make sure your first wave of franchisees are insanely successful, happy, validating, and you'll build the brand and brand one will help you build it. It's great.
Absolutely. That did nothing but help.
Yeah, very cool.
Great people.
The item seven, I saw a range. So if I want to get in this business, I'm looking at 109 to 176,000. And on the high side, it looked like that meant you own the van, you own the wrap, you didn't lease it. Is that fair? The 109 is leasing of the most expensive component, which is the vehicle, and 176 would be owning it. Okay.
Yes.
It also included operating capital, the high end of operating capital. So sub 200,000, all in, franchise fee, I own everything. I've got the $25,000 grand opening. I have, I think it was 20, 30,000 of cash sitting in my bank account at the 176 level. So very low investment. Let's get into this earnings claim, man. This earnings claim is really impressive. And there's actually a lot to talk about with it. So what you did in this earnings claim is you showed a year over year P&L. I love when brands show P&Ls for the audience, very uncommon. Most brands will not show you down to the net operating income. They'll show you gross and they'll tell you the average of a system, the average of a region, the Northeast does this, the Southwest does that. They'll break you up into quadrants and quartiles and so on. Most brands do not say, here's my P&L. You're showing, there's so much to talk about here. I love it. You're showing in 2023 that you did $352,738 in 23. Were you full-time then?
That was my second year.
This is your second full-time year. Okay. So how this translates, $352,000 in revenue translated to $118,000 net bottom line number, which is just incredible. I mean, you're talking about over 30% net. Very impressive. What I find interesting is 2024. you go from 352,000 to 421,000. So you increased your year-over-year increase in revenue was 20%. It's a nice move. What I love about this story is that you could see that you had labor capacity year over year because your expenses didn't increase. You increased total expenses $5,000. It's crazy. More impressive is your bottom line number. Year over year, you grew your bottom line 48%. You netted $174,000. It's a 48% increase from year over year. So it shows you, just for the audience, this is a classic case of operational leverage and underutilized labor capacity. Everyone always says, if you're going to grow, you're going to have to add more labor. Absolutely not. There's laborers all over this country sitting on their phone right now, behind a counter, sitting in a van in a parking lot, waiting for more work. This business was the perfect example of underutilized labor capacity. The business became more profitable as you increased your revenue because your cost structure is largely fixed. This is just one of those perfect examples that I love to talk about. Not enough brands actually show the transparency of what you've done. I mean, it's obvious your expenses grew $5,000. Like, how? It's obvious. Capacity. You're now operating at capacity. Now, I'll argue that 2025, should you increase your revenue another 20%, I guarantee you a higher labor number, right? Which you could grow into, but you could see that you're still scaling this thing. I think you're taking this thing over $500,000. Now, I said that. I'm going to ask you, we're already July. Yes. You're sitting here in July. How do your revenues look in 25? Like, where did you already beat 420 or you're kissing 400?
We're right at it. We are right at it.
Really?
Yeah.
You have 5 months remaining in the year. So another question, is there seasonality to your business? You're in South Carolina. You're sitting in July. Does the business change in terms of revenue for the remaining 5 months of the year or the remaining quarter?
So, I mean, that's kind of like a two-part question. So I guess that depends on quality of job that you do, how long and how good of a job that you do for the clients. Because the least that they think about dog poop, the longer that they're going to stay. And then you can get through the slow months with them. So realistically, industry-wide, the first 3 months of the year are like a spring rush. For us, it's the same way as anybody that has snow. When it melts, you know, as soon as the snow melts, you have all the dog poop or everything up under snow. It's still there.
Perfectly preserved for you, right? Literally, it's like perfect. Yeah. That's right.
Easily to pick up. Yeah. So then you have kids going to summer. Summers are slower time. You would think it'd be fast, but it's our slower time because people are going on vacations. They're boarding their dogs. They're taking their dogs with them, or they're going out of town, or their kids are at home for summer and they want to make some money. So you have a little bit less signups then. You have them still trickling in, but not as active as they are during school. And then you have school comes back the next 3 months in August. So you have that. And then they find out that they need a pooper scooper again because their pooper scooper just went back to school, or they're actually getting busy with work off of summer break, not able to do it. And then the holidays come, everybody starts saving money during the holidays. So they start thinking about what bills to kind of not have to pay for. So that's kind of, it's a 3 month roller coaster every time. It gives you time to work on the business. And then actually, like, I use the summertime and the holidays to actually work in the business, work on the business and figure out and kind of tweak, like, what are we doing when the rush comes? Do we have enough people? Do we have enough trucks? Do we have enough supplies? What are we going to do with our marketing? So yeah, so it kind of gives you a break to where it's not an all the time, just at it rapid fire.
This is interesting. I mean, where do you see this settling? Do you think like a single territory will settle at $500,000-$600,000? Like, how do you, you know, like where does this end at capacity where you reach, I'll call it critical mass, and now you need to open up another location, another territory?
I mean, honestly, it's endless. I mean, I wouldn't say endless, but like, I wouldn't even stop it at a number, because the more dense and thick that you can make the routes with less drive time, the more money
that the business is the killer. Yeah.
That you're not giving it to him. Yeah. So that's kind of what happened between 23 and 24 is I kind of tweaked it enough to where I had my wide span of people and I just filled in. I didn't go any further out. I just filled in. So like the drive time basically was nothing.
Yeah, that's smart. So how would you define the average length of stay of a customer? I would think that you'd sign them up and they would stay, but now I'm hearing a little bit of the ebb and flow of seasonality cutting. So, I mean, when they leave, do they come back? It's like they just pause, right? They're pausing, getting through something. Yeah. Summer, kids are there, like you said, and then they're like, hey, I need you to come back. So they're kind of in and out of your life. You don't ever lose the customer. They just pause services and then re-engage. Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're able to pause up to 90 days in the system, which is that 3-month industry standard, you know? So it's kind of scientific right there that they only did 90 days and then it comes back active again until they pause, if they have to pause again. But I mean, I have people all the way since 2018. Like, I still have some of my original customers.
That's great.
And then, I mean, obviously you have the dogs dying and people moving and stuff like that. So there's other reasons, but it's usually there's a few of them when you have quality where you just can't have that good customer, you know, that you just kind of want to get rid of.
Always.
there's a few of them. Always. Yeah, there's a few of them.
So. Daniel, on 2024 revenue of 421,000, how many employees is that to produce that kind of revenue? You're doing pickup trucks with that outside cab. So there's four vehicles. So each vehicle is producing around 100,000 in revenue.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Four full times.
Yeah. Now I understand there's absolute capacity in that. A van can clearly do way more than 100 grand. So I could see the upside here. It's four guys running around and you're no longer in the field. You're, as you said, you're working on the business, not in the business, or are you still out there?
I go out there sometimes, like employee sort of turnover, stuff like that. Because I mean, you can imagine any business has employee turnover. It's all on how you structure it and stuff like that. But I had a couple of college kids. So I had the training of the new people coming through and then coming out. But no, I try my best to stay behind the computer and actually get more jobs.
Good for you. Yeah, that's what every owner should be obsessing over. Acquiring new customers, increasing the average ticket. You went from 60 to 90 and increasing the frequency of purchase. Keep these people on board. That's the obsession. That's what most people should do. Good for you. This was really interesting. I mean, I can't believe on $421,000 of revenue, you netted $174,000. Like you're over 40, that's a 40% net. That's freaking crazy. These are just not normal numbers. You don't see this. And your royalties are in there. It's not like, oh, you're a corporate-owned location, you're not paying the royalty. No, you are. You're paying what everyone else is paying. You're paying the technology fee. I'm looking right at your P&L. You're paying your utilities, your insurance, your miscellaneous operating expenses, your payroll expenses, your car and truck, your bank fees, because people are obviously using credit cards to pay for these services. Your advertising and marketing was 40 grand, which was 10% of top line gross. Your job supplies are in there, your cost of goods. What didn't we talk about?
Yeah, we just kind of wanted to put everything in there.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, I love the transparency. There. I do. I commend you for the transparency. I do.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that's kind of the one thing I wanted. I kind of went with Rugged Brands and stuff to do this franchising is like their full transparency. We had the same values. Like they knew what I needed to push me. And then also I knew how they worked. So it's just like a team that just, I mean, we have nothing to hide. We know the business model works and we're going to show it.
It's great. What didn't we talk about? Any announcements, any new services, anything you want to mention on the show before we wrap it up?
So we're about to launch Kansas City. We have a franchisee coming at the end of the month for that. So August 1st, they'll be live in Kansas City.
That's great. How many are you up to now? How many sold and how many open?
So that's our first one, counting me. Yeah.
That's great. All right, good. Congrats. That's great. I wish them great success. They'll help you sell another 10 and another 20, and it's a force multiplying effect. Based on this P&L, I have no doubt that you guys will start to scale this thing across the country. Very interesting. Let me tell you, man, I enjoyed having you on the show. I enjoyed learning about your brand. The riches are in the niches, man. You're showing that for sure. I really appreciate you coming on. Best of luck to you.
Thank you for the time.
You got it, Daniel. Great meeting you, man.
Thanks. You too.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss out on more great content. And if you're considering investing in a franchise, whether it's the brand you feature today or another opportunity, we're here to help. Visit us at franocity.com. That's FRANOCITY.com. We love to help you take that next step towards business ownership.